you put me through. You think I despise you, but in the end, I wanna thank you, 'cause you made me that much stronger. When I
Hour. Today I have a wonderful guest, Ollie Damagard, and we're going inside the Bilderberg meetings. We're going to sneak past all the security, and we're going to put together the sleuthing skills of my wonderful guest and penetrate this labyrinth of secrecy that has been that is thwarting democracy across the planet, instilling paranoia and panic in all of us who have half a brain. We can see that the policies that these guys are pushing are not good for us. We don't know who they are good for. We don't know who are supposed to be the beneficiaries, but it's certainly not we the people. Those of you who are in Europe might be a little bit pleased that Bilderberg appears to be taking down the United States right now. But as an American, I'd rather do that myself. Thank you very much. If anybody's going to change the United States, I think it should be the people who live in the United States, not some psychopathic world domination group. That is going for a new world order. That's just my opinion. But Ollie, describe the scene from the opening bars.
From the arrival. Okay, I just want to say that I spent 30 years tracking down this group and also looking into many of the major assassinations and so-called terror acts and so on. So it's with that experience that I came to this meeting. That's also why I flew here from Spain, just to be part of it here in Copenhagen.
Excellent.
And
I don't want to sound like an American exceptionalist when I say that. I believe that I am just deeply averse to the whole concept of a new world order or any foreign body dictating what happens in Ukraine or Syria or Europe. I think I don't want to preface that. My listeners will know that I have a very progressive bent, but I don't want to scare you with that opening. Tell us about your background and how it brought you here.
Okay, I come from a background. I was born in Denmark. I come from a family where my family was deeply involved in the resistance movement during the Nazi occupation here in Denmark. And so I grew up with all these stories about how important it is to stand up for what is right and true, even if you're just Mr. Absolute Nobody, and even if you might consider yourself weak and vulnerable, it still is so important to do what you can. And like my dad was in the resistance movement, my granddad was in jail for helping the Jews. My grandmother's sister was regularly smuggling weapons in baby cots to the resistance movement and so on.
Wow.
So, like, so I somehow got it with me, I think. And then when I was a kid, we moved to Sweden. I started working as a journalist when I grew up. And over the years, I got extremely interested in the JFK assassination in the early 1980s, almost obsessed, I would say. read everything I could get hold of, a couple of hundred books, I think, all type of documentaries. And then I got interested in the Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Abraham Lincoln, and so on. And so I have a deep understanding of this. And then, boom, the Swedish prime minister was shot dead in 1986. Yes. And when that happened, with the background of everything I learned from the other assassinations, it was quite scary to see that this Swedish, so-called Swedish assassination, was following the exact same template as the other assassinations. I mean,
yes, the JFK and the Robert Kennedy assassination, absolutely.
And so I started studying it from a bit of a higher perspective, trying to understand how on earth can they follow the same template if they're not connected. And this took me down a very dark road, I must say, into tracking down assassins and secret agents and right-wing police officer here in Sweden and so on. And
that's a very dangerous road.
I know. I am.
And you're a journalist, so you were doing this in print.
No. I was doing it on my own, totally on my own. Because in Sweden, it was pumped out, just like with the JFK, that it was the job of a lone crazy guy. I grew up in a country where I thought I could trust the police. I thought with the government, there was no corruption, no nothing in Sweden. It was a peaceful country and so on. But this road that I've been walking down, it has given me a totally different image of this country and so many other countries. And I don't know if I mentioned, I lost, unfortunately, two of my friends got murdered. And in the end, I was warned as well. So it ended with me having to change country. So I moved to Spain the year 2000.
Two of your friends were murdered?
Yeah.
By the police? By
who did it? I'm not sure. One got his head smashed in the subway. Nobody saw what happened. But it's not when these type of things happen, it's not what actually happens. It's more that the whole aftermath, what does not happen and how you cannot get the documents out, you know, from the autopsy. And when you get the autopsy report, it's totally faked and there's something very wrong here. Do you know, like that?
Yes.
Tracks it down. So it's not a matter of being paranoid. It's a matter of seeing this is actually the deed of somebody who wanted to end their lives.
Yes.
And
Random mugging. Yeah.
No, not at all. And it's in Sweden. I mean, Sweden is still quite a peaceful country and so on.
Yes.
Anyway, so, but it was while I was studying these, how they could be connected, that was the first time in, I think, the maybe late 80s that I bumped into this name, the Bilderberg Group. At that time, I had absolutely no idea that they existed or anything like that. But the more I looked into it and the more I've been looking into so many of these so-called terror acts, please note that I say so-called terror acts because after all these years, I'm not really sure that there is such a thing as a real terrorist. I mean, every single one that I've looked into have been inside jobs.
Yes.
And it's been pointing in the same direction every single time. It doesn't matter. And this is almost like on a global scale. So it's been like unreal to every time get back to the same group again. And they even use the same team of assassins over decades. You know, the core group have been the same. So
Operation Gladio. That's how I regard it. It is an intent to use violence by a shadow group, secondary to the government, a shadow group using violence to create dissent and fear and chaos and paranoia, and to try to smear and destroy the credibility of the group that is exactly opposite to the one that's doing it usually.
Gladio is very central in this whole thing, or the Stay Behind movement, as we call it here. It's for the people who don't know it. It was a ghost army that was created. I think it was in 1947, where it was actually quite a good idea. they said that all the NATO countries needed to create this ghost army, like a resistance movement that would be unseen. It would consist of many, many cells of 8 to 10 people with gun depots, weapon depots, food depots, fuel depots, and so on, hidden everywhere. So that with hundreds and hundreds of these type of groups that were connected through radio, should an invasion take place, at that time it would be from the east, then the whole, this army would be in place right away, overnight, boom, you would have the whole resistance build up. So, and the thought was that whatever country that would be invaded, then you would smuggle out the royal family and the government and so on. They would go to London, and from London, that would where they would then direct the resistance against this, whoever the invader was. At that time, it was Russia they were thinking about. But then the Russian threat became less and less, and they were standing with this massive army of very, very disciplined right-wing mercenaries, soldiers, security people, police officers, and so on. So the CIA were thinking, well, what can we do? What should we do with this group? Maybe let's use it for something that would be useful for their agenda. So they started what is called the strategy of tension by inflicting fear on different countries' society by causing mayhem through so-called terror acts. What they wanted to was for the population to ask for more and more militarized protection, to get the police more and more protected due to all of these awful acts done by terrorists.
Strategy of tension. And that's how we get to the inside jobs. That's the motivation for all of this. Yes, Operation Gladio and the strategy of tension. Everybody, you got to know that stuff. That's got to be part of our vocabulary too. In Europe, they understand this. They have a sense of history. But here in the United States, you know, beyond the 9/11 movement, there's just not a comprehension that any government could possibly attempt such a thing, which is very naive on the parts of most citizens.
But the states are very naive, I would say, the people in the states. There's a great awakening going on, but you have been like in a world of your own, not really understanding or seeing the rest of us. And I think this is a very dangerous naivety and a very good idea to educate yourself about what has been going on, because also your country has been a war aggressor, the aggressor globally, and has been used as a very brutal death machine globally. So
I agree with what you're saying. I'm not adverse to that. It hurts me in that I know that you're right, and that I know it's true, and I wish it was not true. But it's our own actions that we have to be afraid of, not somebody else's.
No, the thing is, through this global elite, they call themselves the global elite. I would like to call them the global minority or the global lightless or something like that. They name themselves the elite. But they have sort of made in the world, they have like three centers. There's around England, London. That's the financial center together with Wall Street and so on. And then the war center is in Washington. And the religious center is in the Vatican. And these three is like a triangle almost. And they're using them whenever they need. It's going, you know, everything from weapon, drugs, pedophile smuggling, you name it. It goes like in this triangle. So whenever they need a war, they turn to you. And through their creation, it's the UN and NATO are some of their creations. They use these forces to inflict a lot of pain on other countries. And so it's a very, very sad thing that has happened, because I'm not talking about this soldier, the normal soldier in any way. I'm talking about them, soldiers, police officers, many, many, many people being totally duped into believing that what they do is the right thing, that they fight for freedom and democracy I'm sorry, I'm the bringer of bad news. It's absolute baloney.
Absolutely.
What you have been used and trained for is to become brutal killing weapons, death weapons, to destroy, rape, and plunder in the name of absolute greed of people. It's not even your own greed. It's the greed of this small group where the Bilderberg is part of. So it's a very sad thing. And I also think it's extremely important that, people in uniform, because you are the ones that are protecting them from us. Not that it should be the other way around. It is not. You, I would say, I would ask from the bottom of a heart that you educate yourself to understand the agenda that has been going on and how you are being duped into doing all these horrendous things.
Yes.
And duped with absolute lies, absolute lies. You have not liberated any country at all, ever. You have invaded, crushed, plundered, killed, you name it.
Yes.
I'm not blaming. I'm just saying that most people that sign up for the service and so on are young, inexperienced. They think that I'm going to come back as a hero. I'm going to get paid. I can help my family with money and for their mortgage and so on. I'm going to go and help the people in foreign countries because apparently they have this enemy, Mr. Boogeyman, and they will welcome me and I will get medals and the girls will like me and then I can come home again. Sorry.
And they imagine that the people overseas will welcome them too.
That is the whole
thing. Which is just extraordinary. If you roll in with tanks into somebody's home and you think that they're going to be grateful for that, or they're going to thank you for it, why would they? Why?
You just changed the roles. If Chinese tanks would suddenly roll in through Washington, D.C. and down in Louisiana, how grateful would you be? Oh, thank you for liberating me, Mr. Chang Chong Wong.
Yes.
I don't think so. Yeah, but how come they're throwing rocks at us? How come they're shooting at us? Because you're not welcome. That is why. And because you're being used for a purpose. I mean, they call all of these things Operation Freedom or Operation Desert Storm or Operation Stardust or whatever. They give them some kind of fancy name. It's absolute, I would like, if I can say an ugly word, bullshit. It is absolute lies that you are being fed.
Yes.
Because the agenda is, when you look at it, this war against communism, these wars, that is also not true. It is a matter of drugs, oil, pedophile trafficking, location, strategic position of whatever that country is. And the rest is just rape, plunder, and then put American bases. I'm not just talking about America now.
And let's tie this to Bilderberg, because it's not even our individual countries or our individual leaders that are making the decisions on where the resources are to be plundered. America is a hired gun, very much a hired gun. We think we're calling the shots, but because of our naivete, we've been so easily manipulated and pulled and pushed wherever these elite, I call them psychopaths, I'll just call it straight up. These are psychopaths, and if we saw this in a movie, it would be like an Austin Powers kind of movie. It's a megalomaniac kind of movie. That's how Hollywood lives. Is we live in a Hollywood world that's not even based where we have on our television, Ollie, we have movie characters describing what they are doing as movie characters, saying, "Look at this person," as if it's a real person. "Look what she's doing," as if it's a real thing that they're doing. And it's like, oh my God, that's crazy. It's like we're becoming more and more fantasizing. We're more lost in fantasy and delusion than ever before as we fall. You know, and America is falling right now. Those of us, our listening audience, would first of all agree with almost everything you're saying. My audience would agree with you. Totally. You may not know, Ollie, that I was actually locked up in prison on Carswell Air Force Base on the Patriot Act because of my opposition to the Iraqi war. And I was locked up for a year and threatened with indefinite detention for up to 10 years because of my opposition to the Iraq war. And that's a long story, and I don't want to get off on that. But we have this, Americans have this fantasy belief that is a devout belief. It is central to, it is core to our sense of identity. And that is that we are the ones who are making these decisions, and that we're out there, we are the primary actor. Everyone is following us, and they're obeying us, and they're looking to us for our, for their identity. They're going to look through us. And what we fail to see, and why the Bilderberg is so important, is that we are actually their puppet. And we are being manipulated. Our puppet master is this global elite, this new world order force of domination. I mean, wouldn't you say, or do you think that's not right?
I totally agree. It's very important to see how the Bilderberg group works, or the whole network works, because it's very important to look above national borders. It's not a matter of what France does, or England, or Sweden, or the States. This group has been, since 1954, they were created in Oosterbeek in Holland, at the Hotel Bilderberg. That's where they took the name. They might as well call themselves the Hamburger Group, or the whatever, Chinchilla Group, or something like that. But they took the name the Bilderberg Group just because of that. But the whole purpose of this group, with very, very Nazi roots, they created this group to be able to create like a shadow world government, where they, by inviting and controlling very few people, but in key positions, key positions in all important areas of life, if they could get those in as their members, then they could control countries like Sweden, England, and so on, with a handful of people. Not total control, but bend it, push it, manipulate it into more and more control, more and more their agenda. And they had it's called a steering committee with, I think there's 8 people in it. And these people are the ones that decide who will be invited. And so they do it. They're very, I mean, these are intelligent people, not compassionate people, but intelligent people. And they have very meticulously picked the people that they think can gain their cause. And when you get invited, you can only come to these meetings by invitation, and you get invited once, and they check you out. They see, will this person work for our course, our agenda, and so on. And if they do, then you would be invited again. And by studying the agendas, I mean, it's been incredibly difficult to get hold of these agendas, and it's been super secret over so many years, where they meet and where they do and so on, who are there and so on. It's only the last few years when it's totally turned around, thanks to, in, I must say, without polishing my halo, but thanks to people like myself who just don't back off.
Yes,
and
that's right. I am. I'm going to polish your halo for you.
Thank you.
Because that is what it takes. It takes this persistence, the refusal to back down, the tenacity to keep pushing, because they it's all blocked off.
Yeah, it is. It is. And when you see these different, in my book, Coup d'etat in Slow Motion, that you can find on my website, lightonconspiracies.com, the last 200 pages of that book is just the membership list of the Bilderberg Group from 1954 all the way to 2000. And I haven't updated it, so 13, I think. All the agendas, where they met, who they were. And when you start seeing who these members are, it's like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Because you will find prime ministers, foreign ministers, politicians, royalties, media people in the military industrial complex, bankers, insurance companies, Coca-Cola, Nestle, you name it, you will find them there. And it's in that, through understanding these networks, that you will see and understand why, for instance, after, if we say 9/11, which was a total inside job controlled by them, where right after it happened, this thing, you know, we need a patsy for these operations, so blame the patsies. And right after that, boom, the war on terror. Let's start the war on terror. It started in the States. Within, I think it was half an hour, suddenly Tony Blair in England said, yeah, we support this, go, go, go. Then the French minister said, yes, we're behind you. And then the Swedish prime minister, thank you very much, from a neutral country, I do not know how that happened, supported the whole thing. How could that go so fast without any voting, any like that? Because of the secret network. You were talking insiders. So this is the way they do it, and you will see that on a continuous basis in so many different areas of our current life. So by studying these people and see that, oh my God, you even got like Republicans, I don't know what you got in the States. I mean, the whole political thing is so rigged at this point, so it's not even worth going into it. But
that's one thing Americans have figured out, is that we're not choosing our own leaders at all. Everyone, this is the Covert Report with Susan Lindauer. We're about to go to a break. My wonderful guest is Ali Damigard. He is an expert on Bilderberg. He's been tracking this monstrous New World Order for 20 years. Please stay tuned for after the break.
I was gambling in Havana.
You will be tested.
This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
Everybody, welcome back to the Covert Report with Susan Lindauer, and my guest today is Ali Damigard. We're talking about the Bilderberg Group, and right before the break, we were talking about the secretive membership and the roster. Let's name some names. Who's in Bilderberg this year, and who's been in Bilderberg? Who's been invited in the past couple of years?
I mean, key members are like the Rothschild, the Rocker. David Rockefeller, Henry Kissinger, Tony Blair, Margaret Thatcher.
Is Bill Clinton still one of the Bilderberg Society members?
No, not that I know of. I haven't seen him present.
Okay, but Tony Blair was present.
Yeah, for sure. Not this year. No. I don't know. But listen, I was thinking, you know, I'm a musician as well, and I wrote a song and some lyrics in 1997 that I think explains quite in an easy way to understand the whole thing. So would it be okay if I just read these lyrics and
absolutely.
Then afterwards we can...
Absolutely.
It's called From Prison to Paradise. Okay, it's from my album Heart Glow. That it's also called From Prison to Paradise. Once upon a time, in a place not far from here, there was so much loneliness, despair, and oh, so much fear. Darkness ruled all over the land. There was lightning in the sky, causing wars and separation, with no one knowing why. These evil times raised leaders, disguised as kind and true, hiding the truth in misty fog so only very few people knew. Controlled by an elite few, manipulating you and me, closing out the light and power that can make us all be free. Wake up, wake up, we gotta wake up. Forced by invisible powers, demanded to conform into shapes unknown to mankind, making him totally abnormal. Drowned in debts and sorrows, blaming others for their lot, made man believe to be inferior, feeling tiny like a dot. But then came times of change, covering countries and their towns. Few became many, and soon the prison walls came down. Starting with the men in the mirrors, staring right back into their eyes, understanding that this was a chance to stop those hideous lies. Unhappiness is merely an illusion of misery, based on brainwash and a misconception of true reality. From now on, let's build bridges between our souls and hearts, so we together can rejoice when the final change comes to its start. Wake up, we gotta wake up. Turning prison into paradise may seem too much to achieve, but believe me, it only takes one strong spirit to be free. The true power of a pyramid is never ever at the top. Instead, it's we the people that can make this global game stop. Did you get it?
I love it.
Wake up. We gotta wake up. That describes in an easy way, I think, what is going on. Because it's only when you see that they've been doing this for in the dark, you know, that I call my website Light on Conspiracies, because it's with light that we can expose them. I mean, they've been crawling around, hiding in dark rooms and the dark corridors of power, getting away with this for decades, just because we have been so asleep and so duped into not seeing what is going on, and also controlling each other. I mean, that's the unreal thing, that this is just a tiny little group of mostly old men. You know, it's an absolute joke that maybe, what are they? Like maybe in total, the global elite, 2,000-3,000 max, with 7 billion.
Yes.
You know how many zeros that is? That is unreal. And the other day when I was holding a speech outside the Marriott Hotel where they meet now, I said, okay, so here they are, the scary global elite, or at least a major part of them. Is this building packed with them? No. Is one floor packed with them? No. Are they in one little conference room or two? Yes. Okay.
One conference room. Yeah. Yes.
Compare that size of that building with Copenhagen. It is tiny. Then you go to Denmark, the size of Denmark. You won't even spot it on Google Map, that building. Then go to Europe. Then go to this, the whole world. How big is this group? It's an absolute joke that we even listen to them. We should say, come on, guys, give it up. I mean, it's ridiculous. Go home, take care of your kid and kids and wife.
It's geriatric dinosaurs. I mean, when I asked you who they were, I knew who they were. I mean, we all know that they're the Rothschilds, and we know that they're we know that who the major players are. I was wondering if you could tell us who some of the new invitees are. But what you're saying is that there really are not any new invitations. These are the same people who've been there for 30 years.
No, there are new invites and so on, but I haven't really got into that details, because for me, it's not so much at the level where I am or at the stage where I am. It's not that important for me to know exactly who are the new invites and so on. It's more the agenda. That is the thing.
Okay.
And if it would be okay, I would just like to talk about this year's meeting, because what happened was that, like I say, I had to move abroad, and I moved to Spain. I got invited here, so I flew in. And when I came here, we went over to the Marriott Hotel, which is where they're supposed to be. When I looked at this place, it looked very different to many, many of these other places that they normally use, because they normally have... They choose hotels owned by somebody in their lines, very often secluded area, top of the rank, you know, really luxurious hotels.
Yes.
Easy to protect, to have total control of all parameters, the exit, entrance, roads easily control and so on. And
lots of trees and bushes around the building, so that it's you can't get a good straight shot of sight.
Exactly. This is the, we're talking hide, you know, like undercover stealth, that type
of
thing. Yes. Okay. And normally when you see, it's most of the time it's very close to the meeting itself that it actually gets decided or revealed or found out where the meeting is actually going to take place. And often also, if you find out that beforehand and you go to that area, you will see that the security, it's quite high weeks ahead. And then when you get close to the meeting, you will start seeing police, military helicopters, snipers, all of these type of things around that area. And then they arrive in black limos, tinted windows.
Yes.
They come like totally anonymous, all these black limos are flown in by black helicopters and so on.
Yes. Last year it was in Virginia.
No, last year it was in
Virginia. Or maybe it was the year before it was in Virginia. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, so I came here totally prepared to be met by the same side, you know, that because I thought from day one that the location was revealed so early, like 2-3 months ago, I started hearing about the Marriott Hotel in Copenhagen. I checked it out. I thought it's a very odd choice of hotel, because when you look at it, there's on one side open water, and then on the other side, the whole of Copenhagen. You know, how can you cover, secure that many open windows towards and the whole Marriott Hotel consists of windows. The total view in through, you can see many of the corridors and so on. And it's right by one of the main streets, okay, and surrounded by other high-rising buildings. I mean, how difficult is that to secure?
Oh, yeah.
Compared to a luxury hotel in a forest somewhere where you, with just one street road going in that
yes.
you can just have a roadblock and that's it. Mm-hmm. So we came there at about 12 hours before they were supposed to arrive. Were there any security? Yes. Two police officers, Danish police officers. That was it. Nothing. There was absolutely nothing. There was no people. No. And when we arrived, they were starting to put up the concrete blocks around the hotel, you know, normal road workers and so on. Mm-hmm. Two police officers and then three black limos right in front of the entrance, identical. No people there, no drivers. It was almost like they were put there to say, yes, we are here. Okay. And I mean, we could walk up all the way up to the hotel. The only people that were there, there were some from InfoWars and myself and a friend of mine. So we were walking around there. I thought, this is so weird. I mean, I don't get it. Very, very odd. And then they had fenced in an area right in front of the Marriott Hotel on the other side of the street, a big open, it's like gravel, but like a parking area. And when I started looking around that area, you got the police headquarters with all their everything there, right in front of the Marriott Hotel on the other side of this plot. And the buildings around to the sides are all insurance company or bank buildings owned by members of the elite. Okay, so you have actually a controlled area there, not for a high security meeting, but perfect for something else. And I mean, like I said, these people are not stupid and they use very skilled people. So I got a very eerie feeling like something very wrong is going on. So if it's not the place for the meeting, option one, it could be a decoy. Okay, fine. But that decoy would be very easy to...
Oh, so you think that maybe the Marriott wasn't even the real place?
Yeah, we haven't even started yet. Okay, so if it was a decoy, then what you could do, you could get some black limos in there with some doubles. I mean, how difficult it is to look like Queen Beatrice.
Oh, sure, yeah. So everybody's there waiting for the action.
There you go.
But the real action is actually somewhere else.
Yeah. So what you would do is you would get the whole truth movement in front. It's gated in that area, controlled by police right in front of the hotel and so on. You drive some doubles in there. I mean, they stumble out of the car, walk into the hotel. You have absolutely 2 seconds to take photos of the back of somebody's head. You know, oh, yes, I saw Kissinger. You know, I mean, how difficult is that? Not very. So,
and this is how they operate anyway.
That's standard procedure.
But this is how the Bilderberg and the whole, you know, anybody who can do Operation Gladio, who can organize something like this, would have that. Well, this would be a cakewalk, a situation like this.
Exactly. But I thought, it is. Why did they choose this place? Because it didn't really make sense, just as a decoy as well. So with my background, I started looking around and suddenly I just thought, oh my God, this is the perfect place for a false flag operation. You know, they are having massive problems with the truth movement. I mean, all type of truth is the problem for
Thank
them.
Thank you.
They have been hiding.
Greatest compliment you could pay us, yes.
Okay, so if this would be a false flag, how would they do it? The whole thing would be to demonize the truth movement. In one go, they could knock the whole truth movement out by demonizing them, blame them for an awful terror act.
Oh.
So I looked around and I said, okay, so how would I do it if I were one of these black op organizers? What I would do is I would get the truth movement in on fenced in area. I would hope for like 2,000-3,000 people, because you need drama to do these things. So you need a lot of people there. You get them pushed in there. You have police that are not aware of what's going to happen, control them so that it's not easy to get out. And the whole entrance into the area was very weird. It was like you had to walk all the way around and then you came in on a small little street into that area. So very easy to block us in there. Okay. So what would you do there? You would have an empty hotel. You would get some doubles in there saying, hello, hello, here we are. And you had like the three black limos. So guaranteed they're in there if you buy into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're in there in an empty hotel. And very often when they do these false flags, there's some kind of problem with this building anyway, that it's asbestos in the basement, or they need to renovate it or whatever.
The insurance will pay for the renovations that they've been wanting to do for 5 years.
Yeah, and also when you say the insurance, they normally change that like a week ahead or something like that. So it suddenly just includes the terrorism or acts of terror. So they do that. So they place a lot of explosives inside the hotel, the empty hotel. They get all of us gathered on the outside. Then you have a TV team away a bit down the street with a wide-angle lens so that you can get both the truth movement and the side of the front of the hotel in one go. You have aerial footage and so on. You place out some smoke bombs, explosives in the crowd as well, on the parking lot, you know, in plastic bags or parking meters or these type of things that they normally do, like Boston and so on. So you place all of these things out, and then you need drama. So what you do is you send in some provocateurs, and I love these guys. I mean, after all of these years, it's so easy to spot them. I mean, come on, there's no imagination, you know. They very often, the hoodlums, they come in new tennis shoes, all of them the same brand, and the security people, they can't walk like normal people, even though they try to fit in, you know, they're too fit and they walk too slow, and you know, it's like you spot them a mile away. Anyway, you pump in, like, you only need a handful of provocateurs in the crowd, and that crowd that would be totally friendly and so on, what you would do is just, they would start shouting suddenly, you know, awful words towards the Bilderberg, maybe with bullhorns, start throwing things like that. If that wouldn't be enough to stir the whole thing up, then people in uniform, I'm not saying police officer, I'm saying people in police uniforms, part of the provocateurs, would arrest someone for absolutely no reason. And often the person they arrest is also in on this provocateur thing. And this person would scream and shout and be dragged away, totally unjust. And the whole crowd would go, come on, let him go. You know, they would follow, totally focused on that. You would get this whole anger, frustration thing going in the crowd. So you spark the whole thing. And then once that's going, and maybe they start throwing things and screaming, all that. That's when the bomb goes off. Boom! The whole front of the hotel is blown out, and you got the good thing for them is that the explosion, the epicenter, if they do it in a correct way, the whole thing would land on top of the truth movement, but it wouldn't damage the buildings on the sides because it's so open. It's very unusual to see an open space like that in Copenhagen. So it's the perfect place for it. And then what they would do straight away, because you had aerial photos, footage as well with helicopters and so on, directly blame it on the truth movement, saying, my God, these people, they say they're peaceful, they say they're looking for the truth, and just what a better world for us all. Look, they're just massacred.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what they do. And I'll tell you something, if they haven't done it this year, they'll do it next year. Or they'll do it the year after that. It's coming. There's going to be another major confrontation, because these people are so afraid, and their economic standards are falling. There's some very serious issues here, whereby we have a population excess from the standpoint, from the vantage point of a Bilderberg, a crazy psychopathic egomaniac who is driving us towards endless technology, endless automation. We have surplus human beings who have to eat. You know, gosh, we have to be fed, housed, sheltered. We need energy. We are consumers, but we can't contribute. You know, we're excess human beings, and they've got to figure out a way to get rid of us.
But can I go back to this the whole false flag setup?
Sure.
Because I felt, when I saw and looked around, I just thought, this is the perfect place for it. But I felt, what am I going to do, you know, because I don't want to cause, fear and scare off people or whatever, you know, and panic. But at the same time, what am I going to do if I know this and then it happens and I haven't said anything? So what I did was I contracted Chip Tatum, who's a former a deep cover CIA agent for 25 years. He's a Night Stalker pilot. He was one of the pilots in the Iran-Contras. He was also part of Pegasus, which was George Bush Sr.'s private hit team, and had done lots of operation, then turned whistleblower.
Yes.
But Chip was also part
of...
Chip
is a friend of mine, yes.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I really respect him. And he has also been part of carrying out false flag operation. So I contacted him, and I contacted Jim Fetzer, who's a former Marine and a professor. And I described the situation. I said, what do you make out of this? He said, it's very, very odd, to say the least. And he said he thinks that my observation of a possible false flag was accurate. He also said that on the seaside, it would be very hard to secure. And if you did it, then you would have like vessels, naval vessels, and divers in the water, snipers on the roofs and so on. There was nothing like that there. So what I decided to do was just bombard, send it out there. I contacted, I think, about 35 radio stations internationally, just saying, please record time and date when this is forward. This is what I so hope that I'm wrong, but I need to get it out there that this is a possible plan that they would like to carry out. And if they plan to carry it out, it would be on the Saturday when most of the people are there. Uh-huh. So I did that to many, many radio stations, trying to, if that was the plan, to defuse it so that they wouldn't be able to pull it off, because then it would already be out there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So I spent half
the night. Excellent.
Thank you. So I spent half the night doing that. And then the next morning, believe it or not, when I came to the area, I was one of the first there. Do you know what was placed in the parking lot? A massive, massive pentagram made with these railroad, the ones, sleepers?
Pentagram?
A massive pentagram, actually two pentagrams. One... It's like 6 meters in diameter or something like that. I mean, big, heavy blocks, wooden blocks. And next to it were a symbol that was also made like a pentagram. And then with a barbecue in the middle, you know, sometimes they have this fire symbol. Anyway, so I thought, oh, my God, can you imagine if they pull off a false flag like
that? Who would have put that there? I mean, that's weird.
And then if you have...
Saw that in outside any place, you'd think that was strange.
Yeah. And then if you imagine when the bombs goes off and there's smoke and dead people all around, aerial footage, and then in the truth movement, you have a pentagram as well. Can you see these images being spread globally?
Oh, God, yes.
And that would totally demonize.
Like we are the witchcraft people. We're the demonized, you know, we're the cultists.
Well, it would totally demonize the truth movement, and it would give them ground to say, my God, these awful people, you know, we need to ban.
We'd be on the defense. They would hope that we would be on the defensive.
No, they would totally demand that we should all rights to demonstrate, to protest, to gather in big groups should be banned and forbidden. They're trying to pull it off here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they're trying to pull it off in Spain. You know, they're suggesting that you should not be the rights to protest, demonstrate and gather. I think more than 8 people in the same spot should be illegal. And this would be a way of knocking out the truth movement in one go. At the same time, say, well, this truth movement had been using the internet to do all of these things and plan all of these things. So now we need to block major parts of the internet as well to for your safety, for national security, for your protection.
See, everybody, remember what Ali was saying earlier. In terms of the size, we're not talking about filling up one floor of a hotel. We're talking about a number of people so small, so powerful and so wealthy, yes, but the numbers are so tiny that we are, you know, they are 100 people against 7 billion, and they are terrified of us. They cannot control us. Once we discover our power, Once we exert our muscle, and that's what Truth Frequency Radio is all about, and that's what all of our different radio shows are trying to do. We're hoping, we want to feed you, and we want to get this. We want to, you know, wake people up and shake people and get people out there, so that we're all cooperating and helping each other, so that we're taking back our country. If somebody's going to take down the United States, I said this at the beginning of the show, I want it to be me. I want the American people, we need to decide our future. We don't want these bloody, you know, elite, you know, Rockefeller, Rothschild types, these dinosaurs, these geriatric dead wood ideas. These are not oak trees that are majestic and full of wisdom that they've accumulated. These are merchants of death who have profited from tearing down our societies, going around the world. They talk about these, you know, the aliens who would land and pilfer our society and just, you know, destroy everything to eat our resources. The aliens don't need to do it. We're doing it. The Rothschilds are doing it. We are raping, destroying, obliterating the greatest part of our own culture all through the planet. And they're just going from one society to the other, devouring it. And we're not benefiting at all. We don't get any of this benefit. We don't see it. Think about the quantitative easing by the Federal Reserve. They're pumping trillions and trillions and trillions into the economy, and yet there are no jobs. 20% of us are unemployed. None of that money is reaching us. So where the hell is it going? It's going, you know, we have what? 85 people who control, or 30, yeah. We're about to go to break. This is the Covert Report with Susan Lindauer and my wonderful guest, Ali Damigard. And we will be back after the break. We're talking about Bilderberg, and I want to talk about the agendas. We've been talking about the Bilderberg possible false flag. I want to talk about the agenda for what's coming next.
I can feel the rumble like a cold black wind.
On your way through this hard venture, you will be confronted.
This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
After all you put me through, I think I despise you, but in the end, I want to thank you.
'cause you made me that much stronger.
When I
Lindauer and my wonderful guest today, Ollie Damagard. We're talking about Bilderberg. Ollie is an expert on Bilderberg, having been to, having penetrated this labyrinth more than an observer, as a confrontation. He's confronted Bilderberg over the course of two decades. He is the author of Coup d'État in Slow Motion, and he's got a website, Light on Conspiracies, that I hope you will check out. He's also a musician. We're at a crossroads in our planet, Ali, as we all know. We are now the Arabs. Do you think that the Bilderberg Group was responsible for the Arab Spring? And obviously, we see that the Ukraine is itself becoming a violent confrontation that has been inspired by a Bilderberg type of philosophy, which is trying to pull everyone into Europe's stratosphere against Russia. But it's obviously backfiring very badly. Do you think that the Bilderberg Group comprehends the violence that they're unleashing? Do you think that they really believe that they can, that they will achieve any of this stuff without severe violence?
But violence is their language. They don't care. I think to describe what's going on, I think it's very important to see, just like we mentioned before, the size of this. And do you know the old film with Judy Garland, The Wizard of Oz?
Yes.
Where Judy Garland and her dog and the Tin Man and the lion looking for his heart, they're looking. And there's this powerful magician, powerful magician living in this castle, and they're looking for him. And they come in there, and there's this massive voice screaming, I'm powerful, and you're weak. And this brave little girl, I mean, most other people would have run away, you know, but she's so determined to get back home to where she belongs, you know, to harmony, balance, a good life, and with her family and so on. So she does not back off. And then, even though she's being scared, she starts looking around with the other. And suddenly they discover that something is moving behind a curtain, you know, in the dark, in the unseen. They reveal it, they put light on it, they put a spotlight on, saying, what is behind there? And when they pull the curtain, there's this tiny little old man with a microphone and a massive amplifier screaming these things out. An old, tiny little man, no power, so-called very powerful, not very powerful, but with a massive amplifier. This is exactly what we're looking at.
Yes.
A small group of old, mostly old men, totally, it's like Jesus said, judge the sin, not the sinner. But when you look at their minds, we must say very sick minds.
Yes.
And their actions, absolutely horrendous, trying to control the rest of us. But it's such a tiny little group. And so it really is a joke that we're even listening to them, you know, because we should just everybody needs to become aware of their part in their part as a small jigsaw puzzle in their agenda, because it's only with the help of us that they can get away with it. It's only through us that they can carry it out.
It's and because we surrender our power.
Yeah.
We surrender our authority. We accept their greater wisdom. We are the, and I don't mean we, the Truth Frequency Radio listeners. I mean the sheeple. And we all know that. The comatose Americans watching CNN. I actually went, Ali, I studied and got a master's degree at the London School of Economics. And so I lived in London at a critical when I was in my early 20s. And I was astonished by the, even then, I mean, you take this for granted because you're European, but it was a jarring reminder that Americans are so naive and so ignorant of history, and that we were swimming in a world of highly knowledgeable, highly sophisticated individuals who knew each other. Not only do Europeans know their own history, but they know the histories of the peoples around them, and they understand the geographic balance of all the different people around them, and they worked out, except for Bilderberg, mind you, but they've worked out an equilibrium. Between these, more or less, there's still the problem of Europe versus Russia, but the Cold War was certainly a but even within that, you don't need to have the European Union, because the individual countries recognize the cultural different. There is respect for cultural individuality. You don't need to have homogenization, which is what Europe is all, what the European Union is trying to impose, I think.
But also you need to understand that the European Union is their creation. It is member, when you need to
yes.
go and study history, I mean, David Rockefeller, they were the one donating the plot for the UN building, you know, the whole background, the whole setup of the UN, it's them.
It is them, yes.
And when you look at NATO, that's their tool. The UN, that's their tool.
One government.
That's the whole
government that they can control. Because if they have to handpick leaders for all these other countries, one elite group, one core power that is dictating across the landscape, across the globe, making policies that only benefit the elite. And only the upper echelons of the elite. I think that's one of the other problems they're having, is that the middle class. I mean, their policies have been so stupid. So short, the middle class is falling away and crumbling, and the former elite in the United States, at least, are now drifting, falling hard into what used to be the middle class. So there's this shifting downwards, which is this downward mobility that has become a very frightening experience for most people. No one wants that. And so even the elite who used to be the elite are suffering such tremendous losses under these policies that I think that even those people would now have to wonder if the Bilderberg vision is really is all that it's cracked up to be. Even among the elite, I think they should be questioning it.
Do you know the New World Order? I would say that studying history, there would be a better description for the New World Order, and that's called the Fourth Reich. It is exactly the same structure, financially, family structure, and so on, that were financing the whole Hitler war machine. Oh. That is still in place. It's the same tactics. It's the exact same steps that is repeating itself. In your poor country, I mean, God, they're really hammering you hard at the moment.
Yes.
And I feel so sorry for you, I must say. And at the same time, I really salute that you do not give up, because they have a major problem with you. And that is that you are the only armed people in the world. Yes. You are the population with arms. And I am not pro-violence in any way. I'm not saying about using the guns, but what I'm saying is do not give them up. Because what they're trying to with all these false flag mass shootings and so on, which are all staged events, I tell you, not a single one that I've looked into has been a real one. Inside jobs to create the reaction from you saying, oh my God, something needs to be done. And the solution is always giving up your weapons, giving up so that they can take over. Because they, at the moment, they cannot. If they start messing with you, you're armed. You know, they can do that.
That's right. People. Yeah. You're damn armed. Right. We're armed. Damn and, right. Yes. And I feel exactly the same way you do. I respect the fact that as a European, you what America has done so many times around the world is absolutely tragic. We have blundered. We're like elephants stampeding elephants is what we are, and we tear down, we destroy, and so I understand that you know the Ronald Reagan mentality, which here in America is still highly revered. There are people who just beloved Ronald Reagan is still a beloved figure, a father figure in the good old days, you know, when America was America and we beat the Russians, that we beat the Soviets in the Cold War. There is that side of it, Ollie, and it's very real. But at the same time, and there are people who will die believing that Ronald Reagan could do no wrong, which is very scary. Very scary to me. But at the same time, the middle class now is being beaten, just beaten savagely here. There's a new push taking our homes. There's another wave saying, maybe you don't need a home. You can rent a home from us. You know, instead of all being homeowners, you can pay your rent and we'll own your homes for you. And there will be like an elite group that controls the housing, and you can handle, it's a new form of wage slavery is what it is. And and it's going to take fire. I have no doubt that it's going to dominate our society in a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing we can do. We don't have any jobs. Highly educated people are being forced to take temp jobs and low wage jobs if we can get anything at all. There's real concern that Obamacare, which is, you know, it's not single payer like you have in Europe. We have to actually buy insurance, which is the last income that we have, is being transferred away from us. It's a wealth transfer from the people to the insurance companies who are now at the Bilderberg. And it's how do you take whatever we have left? How do you take that away from us? And they are breaking us. They are breaking the United States.
Yeah. But that's the plan as well. Can I just say that,
please,
in my opinion, I believe that when the shots were fired in Dallas, that killed the last real elected president, even though there was a bit of fraud involved in that election as well. Every single president that has followed has been part of the group that murdered him and made a coup d'etat in America. It was a brutal takeover, and all the long line of presidents ever since have just been another front face on the same war machine that is just crushing you at the moment. Obama, just the new version, absolutely same machine behind him. And you have to look upon these people and the so-called government. And by the way, government means actually mind control, gobernmente, how to control your mind. That is the meaning of government. So it's mind control, really, translated. And these people, when you look at them, when you look at their actions, I'm not talking about the fancy word. I'm not talking about Obama's very nice personality, beautiful voice, these type, his beautiful speeches that are, by the way, not his words, but teleprompters.
Yes.
And so on, made by public relation agencies, highly paid and so on. They tell you what you want to know. Look at the actions. Look at what is going on. And you have to understand that you're dealing with a super, 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 super criminal organization that are trying to destroy you. They're doing their absolute utmost to crush you. And what they want is a small, small, tiny elite group, no middle class at all, the lower class, the one that we have already, is going to be kicked out, be homeless, that's going to be illegal, put them in FEMA camps. FEMA camps are actually concentration camps.
Yes.
High-tech concentration camps. Not fun. I tell you, I'm so, so sad for you that it has come to that far. It's spreading here as well. But you are
but
very...
But Europeans are... Because you have more knowledge, because you understand your own history, Americans have a 30-minute memory. They can't even – a lot of Americans – now, not our audience. Everybody's going to say, but it's not us. But we know that they're – we know that our neighbors, okay? Our neighbors cannot even remember 9/11 10 years ago. They can't even handle something that's 10 years old. Clinton – President Clinton is ancient history in their eyes. They don't even understand, you know, George Bush. Oh, he was a law. You know, he was years and years ago. You know, that we don't even have any sense of character to pull us through this. That's why we're so vulnerable.
It's wake up time. That's all I can say. It is not a time to sit and change channels, eat pizza, and poke your nose. This is a time of major challenges. I think exciting times, extremely, very, very difficult, very, very, it takes a lot of bravery and courage. But at the same time, this is the time where we can really make a difference. When you look at the world, not only in the state, but it is falling apart for them, I think, thanks to that the truth is coming out there from so many different channels, Truth Radio, Revolution Radio being one of them.
Yes.
And that... We, by exposing the methods, by exposing the members, by exposing how it's done, it falls apart. You know, they can't pull off these false flags anymore. We just don't buy them. I mean, how many variations of the same theme can you do? And that is why now they're trying. I heard an insider say that now they're talking about the weekly scare. You know, they need to do it on a weekly basis just to keep people in fear so that nobody has the time to focus and see, my God, that was such a weird experience. You know, a false flag, no, a mass shooting here, a mass shooting there, a mass shooting. They don't even do two a week. It's almost like static once a week. Bam, 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 keep
them
down. That's
because they're trying to thump us into saying, okay. Oh, they did it. Oh, it happened again. Oh, no, it happened again. You know, Sandy Hook, Aurora, the Aurora Theater, the Batman Theater, and a lot of these people are just bloody crazy. The shooting in Santa Barbara, they are crazy, but they're also on psychotropic drugs, and the more drugs they put these people on, the more violent they become. Isn't that something? Psychiatry creates mental illness.
But I don't think it's even that these are staged events. Every single one I looked into are false flag operations. They use
Boston Marathon bombing.
Super, super. What they use is an old Roman tactics. Problem, reaction, solution. They have a very violent and hard for us to swallow agenda. So the only way they can push that forward is to get us to ask for it. So they secretly create a problem. This is very often a violent problem, like a bomb, mass shooting, assassination, something like that. Blame it on a patsy, but blow people up in a public place, something like that, to get the reaction from people saying, oh my God, something needs to be done. And then they turn towards me, who they elected to take care of these things, and I will then push forward my solution. and it would be welcome. I would become a hero and all of these things. But it's they are the ones secretly creating the problem to get the reaction so that they can come with a solution. Look at your beautiful country. What has happened since 9/11? I mean, what? Where did Robocop in his super tanks and high-tech, you name it, drones, who could have ever imagined a thing like that? But it's through this agenda of these false flags, boom, 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 boom. The world is full of terrorists. The world is full of terrorists. Fear, fear, fear. You have to be afraid. More protection, more protection, more protection.
We should all submit to surveillance because, you know, they and the irony is they've surveillance, the mass surveillance that is now de rigueur in American society, that American, you know, youth are now accepting because they're more connected into the internet and they're more connected by, you know, they've got all the gadgets that have been pushed on them, which empower the surveillance society, and they just presume that it's okay. They don't even have any sense of it's like they're nonchalant about it. It's like, oh, they're watching me, okay. You know, I want to be watched. Somebody pay attention to me. It's like a narcissistic kind of thing. But they've never yet stopped a terrorist attack through all this surveillance. For all of their high and mighty surveillance and rationalizations, they were not able to stop the Boston Marathon bombing or any of these other attacks because the attacks are staged. The attacks are part of the plan, as you're saying.
It's part of it. It's inside jobs every single time. Yes. Equipment, explosives supplied by the FBI, carried out by actors, crisisactor.org, through the FEMA camp organization. You can go in on FEMA, the websites, you can find out exactly how the preparation, what they need, all of these type of things. It is inside jobs. Yes. And I would also say, it's not the 120 people in the Marriott Hotel today that are doing the surveillance. We are doing it to ourselves. Every single one of your listeners who's are happy to have a job, a paid job, but this paid job is to install surveillance equipment or do plumbing in a FEMA camp or be the office clerk of a FEMA camp or the electrician to install these cameras or the be a sheriff harassing normal people because he thinks that's the right thing, evicting people because the banks say it's ours. We are all responsible. And it's only by all of us saying, listen, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go to war. I'm not going to kick in doors and terrorize normal people. I'm not going to shoot somebody for growing vegetables or having hidden vitamins in their cupboard. I mean, come on, listen to it. It's absolutely mad.
Yes.
Mad. And so it's just the way to stop this is for us to say, no, we're not doing it. We're not buying it. We're not going there anymore. So then these people...
We're not going to cooperate in our own self-annihilation.
Totally. It's like if they say go to war, I say Henry Kissinger, please do. I'd like to see you in boxer shorts and you know, let's see us. You do some fighting. You send your son. You send your children. Instead of murdering hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands from behind a desk. I mean, how cowardly is that? How much have these people got any type of balls at all? Well, I would say if they have, people of the elite, if you have any kind of balls, then have the balls to become whistleblowers. Step out, expose what you've been part of, say if you think so, then say from the bottom of my heart, I am so, so sorry for what I have been part of creating. But transparency is the way to go. You know, expose it all and help to stop it.
I think this is really important, what we're saying. We're about to come to the break. What you're saying is so important. We are not the victims that we think we are. They're hoping that the part of the whole Bilderberg, and I want to, in the last segment, I want to tie this back to Bilderberg. But the whole purpose, the necessity of Bilderberg is to create the the perception among ourselves that we are helpless, we must obey, the powers, the forces is too mighty to resist. And even if these troublemakers are disturbing the society and the purpose and the flow, it's better just to submit. It's easier to go along with it, because otherwise we're going to make an example of these troublemakers and bash their, they're going to send out the riot police. We're going to arrest them. If they speak against us, we're going to throw them in prison. We had Cecily McMillan in the Occupy movement, who was just sentenced to a few months in jail because she elbowed a police officer who grabbed her breast, even though there was bruising on her breast when she was taken into custody, and it showed that she had been assaulted by this man. It didn't matter. They made an example of her. We're seeing that across, Cleveland and Chicago, Occupy activists, anti-NATO activists have been thrown in jail just in the past 6 months for 10-year sentences. In Chicago, they got 5-year sentences, 6 and 8 years in prison for protesting the NATO summit meetings in Chicago. We're at the break. Sorry, this is the Coca-Cola Susan Lindauer.
Gotta leave town, got another appointment.
There's only one choice. To resist.
This is the Truth Frequency.
Everybody, welcome back to the Covert Report with Susan Lindauer. We are talking about the Bilderberg Group and the failed agenda, the failing agenda, and how we are fighting back and resisting, and we're putting up more of a fight, I think, than they have expected. In Spain, was it March, I think, the time is flying so fast for me right now. There was a national protest where marchers walked across the country. It was a stunning thing. Walked along the highways into Madrid for major protests. Hundreds of thousands of people came out. It was an extraordinary event, and it was something that because they were walking from across the country, 20 miles, 50 miles, 100 miles, coming in from all over. They were picking up people as they were moving from town to town, and they were walking along the roads with signs, going into Madrid, and this was to protest IMF austerity and the breaking down of the economy. What we're seeing right now, I know that Americans don't usually think of Europe, but inside Europe there is a backlash against this central authority. This new world, I still call it the New World Order. I like what you're saying about the Fourth Reich, Ali, because that's a very good terminology for it too. It is a Fourth Reich, a New World Order Fourth Reich. But they're fighting back against this. And we've seen in elections last week, the Eurosceptics, who are they're anti-immigration, which is, I'm not going to comment on that. Which is more, I think, that they're in favor of protecting their own culture and their own identity, is how I take it. I don't know if it's necessarily racist, but they feel that they want to protect, the Spanish people want to protect the culture of Spain, and the French want to protect the culture of France, and the Italians want to protect the culture of Italy, rather than homogenizing all of Europe, which I understand. If you put it like that, I understand it, because it's such a beautiful tapestry. Why are we trying to eradicate ourselves to the lowest common denominator of McDonald's and Burger King? Why would anybody want to do that? If you're Italy and Florence and the golden age of Medici, why would you want to lower yourself to a McDonald's? What we're seeing in Ukraine, these Bilderberg people believed that they had a lock on it. They thought that they would get that coup. You know, the old government in the elected, the legally elected government of Ukraine, was supporting the Russian cause, and so the Bilderberg kind of society was like, push them, you know, just get rid of those people. We'll put in some of our own Europeans, and the world will go smoothly, and everyone will just fall into lockstep and goose step over to Europe. And these people are such psychopaths. It seems they are always surprised when we fight back. When it turns out we're not as stupid as they thought we were, they're always blown away. I understand that you believe that they, Ali, that they support violence, and they do. They are ready to use violence, but they're always surprised when the people resist, and they never quite get it that we're going to do it. They always look at themselves as their violence is the ends justify the means. And if they're going to get wealth, if they're going to seize resources and grab assets, well, who are the people to get in their way? Why would the Ukrainians resist handing over their resource wealth to the Europeans and closing down their corporations because it's going to be better for their European hosts? You know, why would these people oppose giving up their pensions for IMF austerity? They've cut pensions in Ukraine by 50%. 50%. Electricity bills have gone up by over 100% since the European takeover of Kiev. And they're surprised. Why are the people fighting back? We have more power than they ever want us to know. And if we seize that and grab it and hold on to it, we can beat these people. We really can. And right before the show, the break, I was talking about the Cleveland Four, who were the Occupy activists arrested in Cleveland, the NATO Three, obviously opposing the NATO summit in Chicago. They had come up on a road trip from Florida, and they had been in town 2 weeks. They didn't even know where anything was in Chicago, and they were indicted for allegedly planning to throw eggs at Rahm Emanuel's house and throw paint guns at the Obama administration headquarters, the Obama campaign headquarters in Chicago. And they didn't even visit those places, but they got 10 years in prison. Wow. Or excuse me, not 10 years in prison. One of them got 8 years. One of them got 6 years. One of them got 5 years. But the prosecution asked for 10 years. We have Barrett Brown in Texas, who had a gag order put on him by a judge to stop him from saying that he had been that he was arrested for publishing the illegal workings of a private intelligence security agency, Stratfor, strategic forecasting called Stratfor, and he had exposed their inner workings through a hack that he had not done the hack, but Anonymous had done the hack and had broken into their system and released their files. And Barrett Brown was accused of publicizing the findings of the hack, which showed that Stratfor is breaking the law. Stratfor is out there surveilling the American people. Stratfor was involved in attacking Occupy activists, which is illegal, targeting activists and free thinkers and bloggers and media types like myself and my other fellow hosts at Truth Frequency Radio. And Barrett Brown went to jail for that. And he's not been sentenced yet, but he's looking at 10 years in prison as well. And this is how they're getting us. And it is grossly unfair and so dangerous. But what happens is that in the Occupy movement in Chicago, after the arrest of the NATO 3, a lot of those Occupy activists ran away to hide. In Cleveland, you saw the same thing. They run away and hide. Because when I was arrested on the Patriot Act, I was contacted by anti-war activists who had been good friends of mine, saying, "Oh, I better not have anything to do with you. I better not help you expose the injustice against you because, you know, I could get in trouble. Oh, my attorney advised me against it." You know, the cowardice of, and that's what they're playing on. They're absolutely tearing us down. That's how they tear us down. That's how they stop us.
Fear is their weapon.
Fear is their weapon. Fear is their weapon. Anyway, Ollie, I'm sorry. I had to interrupt you with that.
No, don't worry. It's just like what you described to me is, I mean, I, who have studied a lot of history, I'm used to see these things when I read about Stalin, Mao, the Khmer Rouge, yes. Ayatollah Khomeini, these type of people. Now, you know, we're talking about dear Obama. What the hell is going on?
Yes.
I mean, compare, just go back a few years back. If anything like this would have happened, how would you have reacted? Now you take it and say, well, this is the way it is. Well, is it the way it should be? I think not.
No.
You know, because it's absolutely sick. And please look into the ownership of your prisons as well, privatized prisons, because this is also part of the elite, how they make bundles and bundles and bundles of every single prisoner that can get in there. It's like have a private hotel and you get bookings and you book them for like 40 years ahead. I mean, that is not bad business, you know. And then you get the taxpayers to pay for it. So just get more people in here, you know. The more you can get in, the more per month you earn.
That's and right.
And private.
And then you've got your surplus population problem solved.
Yeah, and then
you're making money. You're making money. You don't have to give them jobs, or you use them as slave labor.
Exactly.
Which is often what they do, is they force them to work for 40-hour weeks for 15 cents an hour because they're prisoners.
Please go back, study history. This is what Stalin did. This is what Hitler did. This is what Mao did. The Khmer Rouge. The exact same people I'm talking. Now we are talking about your country. I just want to say, I wrote a book called Shadow of Tears some years ago. It's in the 80s, I took a bicycle on my own from Sweden. I was going to South Africa that was a crazy idea I had. But instead, I ended up in the middle of the Iran-Iraq war in Tehran. And I thought I was going, I mean, it was very hard to get in there. So I had absolutely no idea what I was thinking of. Something was like pulling me in there. And I thought the whole country were, you know, just a lot of crazy people running around shooting each other, screaming Allah Akbar. And instead, I found this absolutely beautiful, beautiful, caring people, so many of them, but in an extremely dangerous and difficult situation. It ended up with me, one got murdered. I helped another one out through former Russia, up through East Germany, up to Sweden, and then we got eight other people out there as well. But in the foreword of this book...
So you helped them escape.
Yes, I did. I helped to smuggle them up. Anyway, and I'm really looking for somebody to make a major motion picture about this book, because the story is so much bigger than us who were involved in it. It's an absolute beautiful story of how people from different groups, different countries, different races build like a bridge between their hearts, you know, across above fear and doubt and all of these things, and manage to get out of a very dangerous situation. And now the guy I helped out, he's a heart surgeon in Sweden and with a family, and the other eight are also doing super. So it's just...
Wonderful. Yeah,
thank
you. That's great. See, we can do this.
We can
do this. If we help each other... We can beat the blockade that they're throwing up around us.
But can I just say in the foreword, and I can't remember when I wrote this, what year that I got it published, but in the foreword, I say about how Khomeini got to power, and that was exactly when Obama was getting got into the power position, and they followed the exact same template on how to get there. And in the foreword that is printed so many years ago, just like these lyrics, the song lyrics I wrote, read before, I wrote those in 97, you know. I just showed the parallels between Obama and Ayatollah. And now, these years down the road, this is exactly what is happening. This is the way a dictator that is the face of a super, super criminal global organization. I mean, they make Hitler look like a schoolboy. You know, with the atrocities these people commit are on a scale and with a magnitude these days that is just unheard of. But they're only able to do it with the help of us. This is the whole thing that is so, so sad. So it's up to us to wake up to what is going on. Wake up. And I'm not a believer in violence in any way. I'm with these kind of people. Violence is that their game. If you try to hit back, they will squash you. They will use that as an excuse and just totally eliminate you. Violence is not the way. Revolution, I would say, is not the way. Study history. Every single revolution in world history that I know of, the people who chopped off the head of the old rulers, they became worse than the first ones in a few years. So, and you listen to the word
they
as well.
They adopt the same strategies. They adopt the same structures, political control.
They became obsessed with greed and it took over and all of these. And then they started fearing their old friends that they would take over. So they had to kill them. And it just starts the whole thing. So revolution, listen to the word as well. Revolution, it's just repeating itself. The way to go is evolution, I would say. Transcend this whole thing. Do it by exposing what is going on, by knowledge to see. It's like looking at a magician. If they're trying to, they show you this magic trick with their left hand. It's like, whoa, 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 magic, look. And you go, oh my God, that's amazing. It's magic. It's pure magic. He must be so powerful. But then after a while, when you start noticing that he's actually doing it with his right hand behind his back, once you see how it's done, how these templates are pulled off, the next time he shows you the trick, you won't buy it. You say, no, you did it with your right hand. I'm not buying that.
Yes.
And this is the thing, this is why I put some emphasis on exposing the templates, the methods they are using, because then you don't have to go into separate events. You just, this is the way they do it, and this is the reason why they do it. The next time you hear of a lone crazy guy or a mass shooting or a so-called terrorist attack, listen and wait for the solution that will be presented to you. It will come within minutes after it happened. Yes. Oh, it's because of the guns. We need to get the gun. Oh, gun control. Oh, get away. Give them up your liberties.
Yes.
All of these things. Just listen for it. It comes. And once you become aware, then in the long run, or the short run, I hope, because I really hope that this is falling apart from them now. And that is why they're speeding it up, trying to... I mean, in the old days, at least they had some kind of dignity and respect for themselves when they did these false flags. So they were got a good budget, you know, good planning, skilled people. And they pulled off one like every year or something like that. Now it's so sloppy. It's just like another one, no budget. No, we need the same actors again. We can't get new ones. He's sick today. Use the same guy, blow him up, and then interview him the next week. Use the same sheriff we had the last time because, you know, keep it to a small group because otherwise it will leak out. It's so sloppy, sloppy.
Yeah, keep it to a small group that is more and more isolated, more and more compromised by their previous mistakes. Yes.
But it's coming to such a degree that it's ridiculous. It's really laughable. It's like watching Rocky 23, you know. You've seen it all. And I mean, they can't come up with new scenarios. They can't come up with new ideas. They just repeat the thing again and again. And I know after, I think it was after the Boston bombing, that when you go into this search, I don't know what it's called, in Google, where you can see what type of search words they have been looking for. Yeah. You know? The word false flag operation was more or less unknown before Boston bombings. And then with the help of programs like this the next time it happened, that word false flag operation, it was like 2 billion hits or something. It was just skyrocketing.
Yes.
Because people were like, oh my God, could this really be another one? Let me have a look. Boom, 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 boom.
The crisis, I mean, it was so cynical. The crisis actors on site, the fake amputations. There were some people who did lose their legs.
I don't think so.
But they made there were a few sacrifices which were pretty terrible. I will give you that. They've changed the name of Blackwater to Kraft. There've been permutations of the old Blackwater company because they're so vilified and demonized now. So they've tried to give it more innocuous sounding names like Kraft.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's like which in America is just like this kind of motherhood and apple pie kind of name, Kraft.
Oh, isn't that cute?
Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. Isn't that just, you know, so American? So American of us. But everyone, you know, I'm reminded of the old Thomas. We all watch movies, but the old Thomas Crown Affair with Pierce Brosnan and Rene Russo. And when he goes to return a stolen Rembrandt, he sends in 200 men in bowler hats. They're all wearing the same clothes, the same outfit, same black jacket and a bowler hat. And so it's like a comedy of errors where the cops are trying to figure out which is the bad guy, because they're all wearing, you know, they've all got that bowler hat and they've all got the briefcase. And by paying the actors, the crisis actors to do this, he puts the painting back up on the wall, and you know, all the bad things he's just done, he's just fixed it, made it right. And that to me is what they did in the Boston Marathon bombing. They had like everybody had the same backpack, everybody had the same clothes, and that's the dead giveaway that this is a stage thing.
There's so many, once you look into it, we're looking at thousands of details that do not match up at all. And this is when I come to a crime scene, I mean, I spent not 20 years, like you said, 30 years. And when I come to a crime scene, I just use normal Farmer Brown logic. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. It does not. If you have a fancy title and a laboratory coat and a PhD, if you try to say and show me in a 3D animation program that it actually 1 + 1 = 34, I know, because my creator, whoever that was, gave me something between my ears that can work things out. Yes. And it will say you that it is 2. I don't care. If you tell me it's 34, then I know that you're trying to lie, that you're lying, and there's a reason why you lie. And if I track down the reason why you're lying to me, that will point me to the truth. What happened? So it's just
well, and what they do is they try to cover lies upon lies upon lies, and try to use discrediting to attack credibility. And usually it's sort of an honor if I was deeply vilified, Ollie, when I stood up against the Iraqi war. They arrested me and then they declared me incompetent to stand trial. They said that I was a religious maniac, which I found very extraordinary, because it's the silliest thing I've ever heard in my life. I do believe in God. I'm not an atheist, but I believe in the force of the mystery of the universe and the power of spirituality more than religion anyway. But they absolutely demonized me. And even on Wikipedia, if you look at my Wikipedia profile to this day, you'll see extravagant lies that have been invented about me, and you see this history of brutal suppression that they tried to inflict on me. And of course, a lot of people will believe it, which is the real, which is the sad thing, is that they really think that if the government tells you, if the government says it, it must be true. How could the government lie about that? There must be something in it that's true, and that's what we're facing as well.
Hmm. Do you know, since I came here to Denmark a few days ago, I found out that I'm a Freemason. That's interesting. I had no idea I was. And also that I'm connected to the Scientologist, whatever it's called. That's also sort of a bit of a surprise. I didn't even know that I joined. But there you go. No, I'm a Freemason because on my website...
And a Scientologist. I mean, wow.
At the same time. I'm sure soon I'm going to be a racist, helping out Iranians from Iran into Sweden. I'm sure I'm a racist as well, however they would be able to, and then a Nazi maybe. I mean, it's like, come on, guys. Look, listen, if you believe that about me, I would say...
The pentagram story, yes.
The pentagram, no,
the
but
pentagram,
whatever.
The statue, the sculpture, the pentagram sculpture.
I just say... Watch my actions. See, does that make sense? If I was this or that or whatever, would it make sense what I'm doing? Then look at someone like Obama. Listen to his words. Compare this to his actions. Words are one thing. Actions are another.
Yes.
Judge by the action, not by empty words. You know. Yes. So go use your logic. Use your sense of intelligence. You know, we've been equipped with this beautiful thing called a brain, let's use it, let's use normal logic. It's like many of these conspiracies are absolute no-brainers,
Yes.
You got Robert Kennedy, there's Sirhan Sirhan, who's still in prison after all of these years. He had a gun with 8 bullets, okay? He was standing, the closest he was in front of Robert Kennedy was a meter 30 in front of him, right in front of him. So how many shots were fired? Of course, 8. And of course, Robert Kennedy was hit straight from the front. No, it seems like somewhere around 13 shots were fired. And Robert Kennedy was shot straight from the back and to the right.
From the back. Yes.
So it's a no-brainer that there was someone else there. I mean, my daughter, she said, but Dad, come on, there must have been another one. Right, you are. Then you have, I mean, there's so many. You have the plane... Yes. Hitting the Pentagon, okay, once again, Farmer Brown logic, where did the plane go? The official story to this day, it vaporized due to heat. I mean, if I came home to my wife and said, listen, I'm very sorry, I lost the car today, it must have vaporized, would she believe me? No, but we are buying into these stories. And it's just unreal. So have some credibility. Think for yourself and just stop arguing. Was it an inside job? Was it a conspiracy or not? Just use it. Can a plane with 2 6-ton engines vaporize due to high heat? They can take about 6,000 degrees Celsius and the fuel can only go up to 2,000. Would that be able? And if they melt,
exactly.
Wouldn't that be a big puddle of aluminum and all these metal, wouldn't that be a big puddle? Or wouldn't, how come that right by the hole that is so small, where the whole thing disappeared into, how come that's not just totally...
Everybody, I'm sorry, we've come to the end of our show. This is the Covert Report with Susan Lindauer, my fantastic guest, Ali Damagard. I'd love to have you back. I